Hare Krishna. It has been a great honor and privilege for me to be associated with this process and these devotees here. For the last couple of nights, His Holiness Ratatva Goswami has spoken, and I have chewed the remnants that he has left. But tonight, he didn't leave any remnants. He finished the job completely. So I will have to read another verse. This is the last verse of the sixth chapter. Yoginam apisarvesham madgatain antaratmana shadavan bhajate yo mam samayukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Who is speaking the verse? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the verb bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. The English word worship cannot be used in the same sense as bhaj. Worship means to adore or to show respect and honor to the worthy one. But service with love and faith is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can avoid worshiping a respectable man or a demigod. That may be called discourteous. But one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus every living entity is intended to serve the Supreme Lord by his own constitution. Failing to do this, he falls down. The Bhagavatam 11.5.3 confirms this as follows. Ya esham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajantya vachananti stanat brashta patantyada. Anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. So this verse, quoted from the 11th canto, is very significant and very relevant. Ya esham purusham shakshat, this is referring to Krishna, the Supreme Enjoyer. And the father of every living entity. Now, sometimes people argue that if I'm a good person, if I don't lie or steal or cheat, why do I have to be a devotee? Why do I have to serve God? And the answer is given here, that Krishna is the source of all living entities. He is the father of all living entities. So if you think, well, I can just be a good person but ignore my father, that's not being a good person. So because Krishna is the source of all living entities, he's our supreme father, it's our duty to serve him. And in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the Purusha, it's seen as having different parts of his body that correspond to different occupational duties. Like the head corresponds to the Brahmins, the teachers in society, and the arms to the Kshatriyas, to the statesmen, and so on. And he's the origin of all of them. Like Maharaj said, devotional service is not meant just for the Brahmins or a particular class. It's meant for everyone, because all the different parts of the Lord's body are meant to serve the Lord. So there could be two types of neglect. Someone might say, well, I'm not against the Lord, I just don't have any interest. So that's nabhajanti. They're not serving the Lord. And then there are those who actually decry the Lord or deny the Lord. And those are avajananti. And the result is, the result of not serving the Lord, what to speak of crying him, is one will fall down, stanad brashta patantyada. Once we were at a very nice, pious, life member's home in Bombay. We went with Srila Prabhupada for prasad. And the prasad was very nicely made. It was very simple, but very tasteful and nourishing. And Srila Prabhupada said that his devotees should learn how to cook like that. And then afterwards, the host seated us in one corner of the sitting room while he and his family took prasad. And Srila Prabhupada really surprised us, me, by sort of indicating the family and saying, even if you do your occupational duty very perfectly, but if you're not Krishna conscious, you will go to hell. And Srila Prabhupada's words struck me. But as with almost everything Srila Prabhupada said, as I read the scripture more, I found some statement in the scripture that corroborated what Srila Prabhupada had said. And the verse here from the 11th canto corroborates it. That whatever your position is in the social body or corresponding to the universal form of the Lord, but if you do not serve the Lord, you fall down. And our acharyas have commented on this process of falling down and analyzed how it happens. And they say that without Krishna consciousness, one will lack the motivation to be regulated. Although the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma are meant to regulate the activities of the conditioned souls, but without Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, they will eventually start to deviate. And as we know, when we deviate a little, then it becomes easier to deviate some more, and then it becomes easier to deviate even more. And they say that from that first slight deviation, the person will deviate more and more and more until he becomes completely unregulated, like an animal. And then, having fallen from the human platform to basically the animal platform, he goes to hell. Exactly what Srila Prabhupada said. So, it is very serious. Our business in the human form of life is very serious. And along with our occupational duty, we must also engage in chanting and hearing the holy name and glories of the Lord, because that will ensure our Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we perform our occupational duty but neglect the process of chanting and hearing, we can also become weak. Once in India, Srila Prabhupada was giving the evening class. It was in the early days before the big temples were established. He was giving the evening class. And he noticed one of the devotees was missing, and he asked, "Where is the devotee?" And the other devotees replied that she's shopping for the deities. And then when the devotee finally came, Srila Prabhupada chided her, and he said, "You think that you're different from all these other people," meaning the regular materialistic people. But you're not. If you do not engage in the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, even though you're working for Krishna, ultimately you'll be no different than they are. So this is a matter of balance that every devotee must achieve or strive to achieve. And Srila Prabhupada says the same thing in the Nectar of Devotion, that whatever your occupational duty is, you can use it to serve the Lord. And so we don't even need to distinguish between different categories of occupational duty. But the duty of chanting and hearing about Krishna is common to everyone, no matter what their specific occupational duty is. And so we don't need to request Guru Bhakti Mataji, but still we request her to show us that example also, how one can be how one can engage in one's occupational duty in the mood of service to the Lord, and at the same time maintain the balance between hearing and chanting about Krishna and engaging in one's regular occupational duty. Now, coming back to our verse, Ya esham purusat shakshat, in that context, as I mentioned, the purusha means the universal form of the Lord. Atma prabhavam ishram, the source of all living entities. So, stanad brashta patantyada, they fall down. And the acharyas say that falling down due to neglecting the service of the Lord begins when one refuses to accept a spiritual master. It's actually the acceptance of a spiritual master that brings the living entity to the service of the Lord. And so the acharyas say that if one refuses to accept a spiritual master or neglects to accept a spiritual master, that will lead to that whole process of gradually deviating more and more and becoming more and more unregulated and eventually falling down from one's position in Vardashram and ultimately going to hell. So it is very, very heartening to see how Guru Bhakti has taken the orders of her spiritual master so seriously, and for her entire devotional career has done her best to follow his instructions, and she has been very exemplary in her service to him and to the other devotees and to Krishna. I'm glad that we could come here the night before we leave. But I'm sorry we won't be able to stay and see how the place develops and the practice develops and her devotional service develops. But even from some geographical distance, we'll be in touch. And I think you all are very fortunate to be here to see this wonderful unfoldment of Srimati Guru Bhakti Dasi's pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
I have a comment.
Oh, yes.
That I would like to say that Guru Bhakti is such a nice example of a devotee who has an occupation and also maintains her Krishna consciousness. She's such a nice example that within her occupation she has the opportunity to serve the devotees, which she does very generously, and I think that the perfection of her occupation, she's brought it to another level. An occupation and being a devotee, but serving the devotees with her occupation. She has such a really nice manner. I remember bringing Mother Lori to her office, and I've seen Lori interact with other medical practitioners, and Lori had a reputation for not liking doctors. And I remember bringing her one time to another situation where there was a nurse, and Lori was very cantankerous. And when the nurse asked her name, she said, "It's there on the form." She asked her, "Why are you here?" She said, "You tell me, you're the doctor." And when the nurse asked her date of birth, she said, "A long time ago." But I never saw her interact with Guru Bhakti like that. She was always very trusting. Whatever Guru Bhakti was asking her to do, she was always very trusting of her, and that's to her credit and her gentle manner that she has. I was, remember the dementia test that that you gave to Mother Lori, and sometimes they're funny answers, you know. One of the questions was, what floor are we on? And Lori didn't know the number of the floor, but she knew she wasn't on the ground floor because we had taken the elevator. So she said some number, but he marked it as right because she knew at least she wasn't on the ground floor. So we'd taken the elevator up. But I wanted to thank you for all the nice service that you've done for the devotees and continue to do, and also for the nice manner that when you were treating Mother Lori.
I would like to mention that it's the nature of caring people like Mother Guru Bhakti and others to think of others before they think of themselves. And I think especially because of her recent health issues, we should also think of her. We shouldn't just think what she can do for us, but we should think of what we can do for her. And one thing we could do would be to give her time to take care of herself, you know, chanting and hearing and whatever else she needs to do to take care of herself on different levels, and try to resist the temptation of approaching her at every hour of day or night, which she's always, I mean, I saw her myself. We were like talking, and at 9:30 at night, one man came and said, "His son, I don't know, can't sleep, he's coughing, can you come home?" And she went, like, 9:30 at night. But we should avoid that. That wasn't one of the regular devotees in the community, I should mention. But yes, we should avoid that. It's very important that in this reciprocation of service and love, we also think of what's in her interest too, because that ultimately would be in the interest of the whole project and all of us. Krishna Kripa.
I was always very fortunate when I was working prior to what I do now, and that I ran a prasadam business and was able to very easily dovetail everything I was doing, change my schedule, rearrange anything I wanted to support preaching and Krishna consciousness and the likes. But now with my occupation, I don't have that facility working for other people under the constraints of their demands. And that's a very common scenario for, I would think, most of the people in the room. Most of us have jobs, not businesses. So we don't have a lot of facility for moving around and trying to adjust for preaching opportunities. Can you elaborate a little or give some pointers or what we can do in that scenario, that situation? Please. I do this to you a lot, I'm sorry, but I have been these complicated questions that go on my mind.
Well, we have to find a balance. It's the same principle in whatever situation we're in. We have to find a balance. And of course, there are many employers who want to get the most out of you for the least.
True.
And we can't expect them to be any different. There can be exceptions, but generally. So we have to sort of negotiate a schedule with them that enables us to maintain our balance. And what constitutes our balance may change. It always does change. So it can't be fixed. I mean, it may happen that someone who's starting out in a job may choose to work more and, you know, earn more and save more so that later, you know, he or she will be able to enjoy more spiritually. But even then, we really have to be careful not to work too much and not have enough time for our spiritual life. A common example, more from a different period in ISKCON's history, but many devotees at a certain stage were engaged in business activities for the temples. Selling candles, selling paintings, selling different things. But because of the morning program and the association of the devotees, they gave the money to the temple, and the money was used to develop projects. But after a while, when they became a little slack, they started thinking, well, why should I do it for the temple? I can do it for myself. And then they would do the same work, but for themselves. And it was, you know, I'll give half to the temple, then a quarter, then 10%, and then, you know, eventually.
Temple's doing fine.
Yeah, they don't need my money. In fact, I can use it better than the temple. So yes, there can be some variation in a person's balance over time and in a person's career or devotional life, but one has to do that. Our friend Sridhar Swami, His Holiness Sridhar Swami, was at one stage very fond of Stephen Covey. And he really, really wanted me to read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I was not reading anything other than scripture. But I got a kidney stone. And eventually, through some process of medical advice or sifting through different types of medical advice, I decided to take some homeopathic pill that was meant to either dissolve the stone or break it or some combination, and drink coconut water, which is a diuretic, and just sit in my gumption near the bathroom and just keep passing water until it came out. So I thought, all right, I'm going to read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So that was like my project in that particular condition. And Stephen Covey's quite ingenious about quadrants. And so in one such conception, he has two dimensions, courage and considerateness. And like someone can be very considerate of others, and that goes with like win-win, win-lose, lose-win, and lose-lose. You know what that means? Win-win means I win and you win. We both gain. Win-lose is, you know, sort of the aggressive materialistic idea. Like, I win and you lose. You know, tough luck. And then there's the, you could say, like a caregiver, but not a balanced caregiver, like you win and I lose. So what Stephen Covey's, all right, so the person who's in the mood of win-lose, like I win and you lose, and that's tough for you. That's like, he's courageous, but he's not considerate. And the person who's, you win and I lose, that person is considerate, but not courageous. And the lose-win eventually becomes lose-lose. Because the person in the lose-win mentality will not be able to sustain it. And then ultimately when the person will have to drop out of that, and then everyone loses. And so he says the ideal is that you're considerate, you want to help the other person, but you're also courageous enough to speak up and say what you need for yourself so you can sustain your work. Mm-hmm. And that's win-win. So that's what we have to strive for in any situation. And in caregiving professions also, it's very important. As His Holiness Ratut Vijaswami says, you count two. In other words, when you make a calculation of what's best, don't just consider everyone else, but you count too. You also have to be a factor in the equation, and then you come out with the final conclusion. Hare Krishna.